Let's turn the light on here too. So I can see. All right, here are some advice. By the way, today's teaching title is What Does God Want Wives to Do in the Marriage? Here's some advice I got from your fellow wives for you before the Bible study. Number one, listen carefully, please. Don't imagine you can change a man unless he's in diapers. That's right thing. Second, never let your man's mind wander because it's too small to be out alone. Ladies like that, huh? Women don't make a fool of men. Most of them are the do-it-yourself types. Best way to get a man to do something is to suggest that he is too old for it. Are you getting a note, Olivia? And the love is blind, but the marriage is a real eye-opener. The children of Israel wandered around the desert for 40 years. Even in biblical times, man wouldn't ask for directions. If he asked what sort of books you are interested in, tell him checkbooks. Remember, sense of humor does not mean that you tell him jokes. That means you laugh at his. Okay, you enjoy that thing, so now this time the man has something to say about wives. Let's be fair, right? Learn to walk with a toilet seat. Your big goal is, if it's up, put it down. If we need it up, you need it down. You don't hear us complaining about you leaving it down. As for what you want, let us be clear on this one. Subtle hint, do not work. Strong hint, do not work. Obvious hint, do not work. Just say it. You got that, ladies? Anything we say 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all comment became a null and avoided after 7 days. So don't put it in your memory. If we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we will act like nothing is wrong. We know you are lying, but it is not worth hassle. When we have to go somewhere, absolutely anything you wear is fine, really. Don't ask us what we are thinking about unless you are prepared to discuss such a topic as baseball, shotgun formation, monster trucks. We have very little topics. Last one. You have enough clothes. And the lady standing in the middle of a closet, they said, I have nothing to wear. Right. Okay, ever since Promise Keepers started in sometime 1980, or 90, I think it's an late 80, isn't it, Promise Keeper? Bible teachers, pastors, family, marriage counselors have been bombarding husbands that how dumb we are. And we deserve to be called dumb, because we are dumb in a lot of ways. And that kind of portrayed into the movies and TVs, sitcoms, and even commercials. If you notice, majority sitcoms, the dads are stupid and they don't know what they're doing. Why they're doing it, in a way, there is a reason for it. This is a subtle movement from the Satan. They're making look like a dad is not necessary to have in the family. They are trying to break the family as much as they can. And somehow the woman is portrayed as complete and the faultless saint. I'd like to ask you ladies, if you're faultless and you're complete and perfect saints, please raise your hand. I'd like to talk to you. Okay, so far there is nobody who is perfect in this room. Good. Let's find out what the Word of God says about the marriage and what the woman's role is. Are you guys hot?
Yes.
Yes. Would you take care of that for me, please, Jack? Thank you. Let's have a word of prayer before we start the study. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word about to receive. We are asking your guidance upon the word that we may receive as you intended. Let us not change your direction because it's not convenient to us. Let us follow your way. And if we have to submissive, we have to be submissive. If we have to follow your way, we have to follow your way. Your word does not negotiate with our feeling. So we are asking your guidance. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 Peter. Wives, likewise, next word need to be on the line. Be submissive to your husband. And next phrase need to be on the line. Even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe their chaste the conduct accompanied by fear. This word, the submission, is almost like a 10-letter taboo word nowadays to a contemporary woman. You mean I have to be submissive to my husband? According to my Bible, according to your Bible, guess what? It says yes. It's not saying, well, if your husband is smart and really good-looking and he's rich, be submissive. If he's stupid and poor and he doesn't listen, he doesn't know what he's doing, don't be submissive. It doesn't go that way. It says, be submissive. And I even ask you on the line, even if some do not obey the word. All right, let's put it in this way. That means it can be, in a way, in when you look at it in Greek, it covers both areas, non-believers as well as carnal believers. If your husband is a carnal believer and your husband is non-believer, that means you still have to be submissive. To what point? Until he comes to a point going against God. Then God's override. God's word overrides. Keep your finger right there and let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Some of you guys already know where I was going with this. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians is right before Philippians, right after Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 22. I want you to pay attention to how it starts, please. Wives, and next word is what? What is the next word? I cannot hear you, ladies. I cannot hear you. Okay, you got that meaning, right? Submit to your own husband. What? What's the next word? As unto the Lord. That means you have to submit to God with a willing heart, willing heart and obedient heart. Be submissive to your husband as you do to unto the Lord. And then it goes, for the husband is the head of wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in what? Everything, in all situations. And keep your finger there. If you can put the bookmark there, then it'll be good. Colossians, huh? Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Colossians 3:18, please. Again, it starts with the word, wives, what? Submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. So we find each time whenever we see the role of wives, which word shows up? Submit. What's the reason why the Bible tells wives to be submissive? It goes way back to Genesis in the Garden of Eden. God created who first? Man. And then with his rib, one of his rib, he created Eve. According to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, and Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, the chain of command starts with Adam and to Eve. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis chapter 6, 3, sorry, verse 6. So when you got there? So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate it. She also, next word is very careful, important word, gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And next sentence is very important. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. From the beginning of the sin stage, ladies and gentlemen, it was a matter of who take control. So it was a struggle between man and woman taking control over each other. It's been going on ever since. What was the problem with Eve? She broke the chain of command. When she's supposed to be submissive to Adam, she literally giving the fruit to him and tell him to eat it. And he was dumb enough to eat it. And if you notice, God was going after Adam more than Eve. Because she was deceived, yet he, fully knowing, he took it. He sinned against God too. Remember, ladies, when you're getting married, who walked you down the aisle? Your daddy did, didn't he? He walked you down the aisle and stood in front of your bridegroom, and minister asked, who gave this woman to this man? Yeah, don't laugh. That's not what I meant. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Let's go back there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. This tradition starts from Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. I'm in index. Why did I go that far? Chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God has taken from the man he made into a woman. Next word, he brought her to the man. Literally walking down the aisle with her in her arms and arm, and giving her to Adam. What this signifies is a transferring the authority and the responsibility of the woman and care for the woman. It's being transferred from the God to Adam, from your daddy to your bridegroom. So from that moment, your bridegroom is in charge of taking care of you and taking care of your protection. And also that was God's way to endorsing his capability. So from the beginning, you are to submissive to God, and now you're submissive to your husband. That's how it goes. Does it mean that man is better than woman? Absolutely not. I've seen so many women who are a lot more capable than I am. And in God's love, man and woman are equal. What does it mean to have this kind of seniority? Seniority comes with a responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. Seniority comes with the responsibility. So God had to put this responsibility to somebody, and that's Adam first. He has more responsibility than you. All you have, you ladies have to do is just follow the man. That brings next question. What if I'm married to an idiot? Don't laugh too loud, please. And my wife's thinking, I know. Some of you think that you are married to an idiot. And we deserve that kind of thing. Sometimes we act like an idiot. However, before you decide you married an idiot, did you think the same way before you got married? Were you thinking, I'm getting married to this idiot. How wonderful. I bet you were thinking that I'm married to this Prince Charming. And what happened to that Prince Charming? All the ooey-gooey, the fog removed from your eyelid, all of a sudden you realize, I'm married to an idiot. You know what, ladies? That goes vice versa. Guys, you feel better now? Somehow you think that what happened in the heart, in your home is it's not supposed to be this way. And you know that you can do something better than your husband with hands down. That doesn't mean you are allowed to treat your husband like some unwelcomed in-laws in your home. He's to be treated with respect. I'm going to ask you to remember the word respect. I mentioned this last week. This is a very important word. The willing submission commanded and still remain from the word. Even though you are married to idiotic jerk and lazy slob, you are to treat him with respect. If you do that, you're being obedient to God's word, and your husband is not accountable for what you do. But you are accountable for what you don't do. You understand me? Ladies, he's not accountable for what you do or what you don't do. But you are accountable for what you don't do, not obeying God and not following God, not being obedient to God's word, and not being submissive to God's word. So it is important for you to do what needs to be done. All right. Respect is your husband's only emotional shield he has. Let's go back to what we studied last week. Remember how I finished with the four applications. What would that be? You give what? Best to your spouses. Whether it's a man or woman, each way, give best. What's the B stand for? What's the B stand for? Bless. Bless each other with what? With your word. And E stand for? Edify. You build each other up with the word and the compliment. And S stand for? Sharing each other's, not mine. I'm not supposed to share what I want with my wife. I'm supposed to share what she likes to do with me. So her desire becomes more important than my desire. And the last one is, T stand for touch. Let each other know with the physical touch that she's loved or he's loved. Okay, let's go back to what we are talking about. All right, let's put it this way. Ladies, the wives need love from their husband. Wives need a love from her husband. That love is like air she can breathe in the marriage. She needs that. Her air tank is filled with love. And the connect with her gas mask and connect with that little hose toward that air tank. This husband, insensitive husband, coming like an elephant and step on that air hose. And all of a sudden you realize you're dying because you cannot have that love into your lung. And while he's standing there, he's looking at you with the blinking eyes. He's thinking about how he can find a peanut to chew, a peanut to eat, and while you're suffocating. So what do? You are beautiful, so you pick up your thorn, and he has the same thing. He has this gas tank filled with the respect that's supposed to come from you. And the air hose that connects to the air tank called respect. You go to him, and with that thorn, all of a sudden he cannot get an air called respect from you. He's dying. You know where I'm going with this? You're not getting love from him, so what do? So you are not giving him what? Respect. Ladies and gentlemen, guys, ego is like a little thin glass ball. It doesn't take a whole lot to for you to do that thing. All you gotta do, it breaks it. It doesn't take a whole lot to take your husband down because he has this little thing called ego as a husband. Is that a bad ego? No, it's not a bad ego. It's a guy thing. If you disrespect him, you're breaking that ego down to nothing. Please remember this. If you can, throughout the entire Bible, you will find that husband love your wives. Do you agree? Husband love your wives. However, you will not find wives love your husband. Why? Because you know, you ladies already how to love your husband. Guys don't have that. Guys have a problem not loving wives. That's why God's word said, love your wives. But however, what is the command from God to you ladies? Submissive, and in that translate, to respect your husband. Some of you are thinking, how can I respect when he does nothing right? Let me ask you this. When you feel that way, are you the judge? Are you his maker? You're not. God's word said respect and submissive. Guess what that is? That's a commandment. It didn't say, wives, if you feel like it, respect your husband. No, he said flat out, submit and respect. That means it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Whether he does the things right, whether he does things according to your plan or not, you're supposed to be submissive to him. See, please watch your command. Comment, not command. I know sometimes you ladies like to give a command to your husband. Please watch what you say, how you say to him. Don't treat him like some sort of your child. I know we act like a child. I admit that I'm the first one to do that. But don't treat him like your child. Don't talk down on him. Don't tell him, you should do this, you should do it, you ought to know by this now, and talk. Don't do that. If you do that, guess what? There's two things will happen. Either you will get ugly comment back from him, or he will go into self-silent withdrawal. You guys notice that, you ladies? That withdrawal happens. Now, when the withdrawal happens, when it becomes silent withdrawal, ladies tend to take that as a personal act of hostility against you. Instead of he trying to just stay away from you so he doesn't put up with your problem, you take that as hostility. It is important for you ladies to talk carefully. Don't talk down on him. That is not being submissive. That is not giving respect to the man. What happens when the communication breaks down because he withdraws? And you ladies love to have a communication. If he doesn't talk to you, you follow him around the house. Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. What did you do? What happened at your work? And he said nothing. Then all of a sudden there, the boom, shutter comes down. And you ladies think that he doesn't love me. So what kinds of things happen? After that, the normal communications, communication goes south. You start doing something different that the guys don't do a whole lot. Nagging. When the nagging starts, this is something I read, it's very good, so I'll just read it to you. In a Christian family seminar, J. Allen Peterson analyzed the syndrome of nagging in this manner. Please look carefully. Nagging is basically a woman's weapon used against the man in her marriage. The recurrent irritation of nagging is designed to get the wives what she wants. When her husband surrendered out of exasperation, he secretly hated himself for doing it, and then his feet a little more so that the next time around she has to nag more than she did before to accomplish the same purpose. This state of affair continued until finally the woman has formed a habit of nagging and nagging to get what she wants. Listen carefully, the next one is really good. She really achieved her selfish purpose at the expense of her marriage. You might intend, your intention might be good at the beginning, but the nagging does not work. Somehow guys shut that thing off. Trust me on that thing. And it's not just the husband and wife, the other things happen the same way. It's one thing for you to follow him around and tell him. It's another thing to make him to feel like about that small. Reminding him is a different thing because we are forgetful people. But when it comes to the making him feel small, is a different thing. Let's go back to Scripture and what the God's Word says in chapter 3 of Ephesians. Verse 1 again. Chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read it one more time, this time a little bit in different point of view. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, even if some do not obey the word. They, without a word, may be won by conduct of their wives when he observed your chest. Conduct accompanied by fear.
Fear.
What did I say? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not what I meant. See what I mean? We are forgetful people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. That's what I read. Please listen carefully. Do not try to change your husband. As I said, unless he's in diaper. He's not a project. You cannot mold him. You cannot change him. The best way for you to do it is pray to God. Let him change. It works so much better. His plan is much better than yours, I guarantee. So don't try to change him. When you try to change him, what will happen is most like a reaction. Either silent withdrawal or ugly comment back to you. Here's the 5 basic rules for communication. You might want to jot this down and read it later. 5 basic rules. Number 1, do not repeat to anyone else the things your husband shared with you privately. Do not repeat to anyone else the things that your husband shared with you privately. Because he's talking to you with confidence in you, you should not betray that confidence. So don't repeat it. Don't get on the phone and start to talk to your best friend about it. Second thing, give your husband your total undivided attention. Give your husband your total undivided attention and listen with interest while he becomes more comfortable in expressing himself. Let's face it, guys are not good at expressing himself. So they tend to have a few words. If you don't agree with me, let's look at this 5-year-old boy and girl. While the girl can express everything around them, around her, with the right word, right expression, what does the boy say? That's as far as it goes. The men tend to express themselves a whole lot less than one. So only way you can make him to talk all by himself is you listen to him. Give him total undivided attention. He will spill his guts out. He will do that all by himself. You just give him opportunity, he will. Now, there's a next thing that you have to do. Do not interrupt him or jump to the conclusion about what he is saying. Do not interrupt him or jump to the conclusion about what he's saying. Fourth rules I suggest is acknowledge that you understand even if you disagree. Acknowledge that you understand even if you disagree. And repeat his thought and feeling back to him so that he is sure you understand. Oh, by the way, I'm going to put all of this on the website so you will get it. You can download it from there. Let him think that do not let your disagreement sound like a disapproval. Don't let your disagreement sound like a disapproval. But make it as suggestion. Ladies, listen carefully, please. Make it as a suggestion. And if it works, if he likes it, let him think that that's his idea. Okay? Let him think it's his idea. But you are the one who is laughing at him. You are the one who is knowing that it's your idea. Let him think that it was done by him. What are you doing? You're building him up. You're giving him respect. Last one. When you are sharing your thought, be careful never to sound as if you are heaping blame on him. When either of you goes on defensive and your communication goes to south, it goes south. That means you have to start all over again. So when you're sharing your thought, don't make it sound like you're putting the blame on him. Please. Don't make it like a disapproval. If you have a better thought, make it sound like a suggestion. And if it works for him, let him take the credit for it. But you know it's yours, so you don't have to lose a sleep over that. Next one is very important too. When it comes to forgive and forget, some of the wives might say, you have no idea what he's done. I cannot forgive and forget. If you feel that way, let me remind you this. Extend your mercy to him as much as you want to receive from God. You follow me? Extend your mercy, extend your forgiveness to him as much as you want to receive from God. If you want to receive a lot of mercy, if you want to receive a lot of forgiveness from God, because you are a sinful person just like me, just like the rest of guys around the world, then extend a lot of mercy, a lot of forgiveness. It is important for you to extend mercy and forgiveness to your husband who make a mistake. And so far, I haven't seen any woman who does not make a mistake. So you and I, we are all in the same shoes. God does not hold a grudge against us, so we should not hold a grudge against one another. One husband said, when we get into argument, my wife does not become hysterical, she becomes historical. You follow me? She doesn't become hysterical if she becomes historical. What that means is she is remembering all the fault, all the mistake, all the shortcoming, all the wrongdoing, and putting in the memory bank and bringing it back. Ladies, what did I say? Two words, three words. Forgive and forget. That's what God does. When we come to him, ask God to forgive our sins, guess what he does? Forgive and forget. Some of us have heard the story, well, I can forgive like God, but I just have a problem forgetting. I do too. That's where our mercy comes in, our grace comes in. What we learn from God, we have to say, okay, I'm going to forget this thing again and again and again. Let's go to Mark chapter 11, please. Mark 11, right after Matthew. By the way, after Revelation, in chapter 24, this Sunday, after Revelation, we're going to go into, no, after Matthew, we're going to go into Revelation. So please read ahead in the Revelation. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Mark 11, 25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. In other words, forgive others so that you may be forgiven. Let's go to verse 3 of 1 Peter. I said 1 Peter, not Ephesians. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with, number one, the incorruptible beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is the very precious in the sight of God. For in this matter, in the former times, the holy woman who trust in God also adorn themselves. Number two, being submissive to their own husband, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. This is extremely important for ladies to understand. There's your inner beauty outlasts your outer beauty. Your inner beauty outlasts outer beauty. I've seen way too many ladies who are concerned about the outer beauties more than inner beauties. They will do anything for the outer beauty. They won't do anything for inner beauty. How the ladies can have an inner beauty? I asked you to put the number one and number two. What are they? Let's go back. The incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Having a gentle and quiet spirit. That's number one. Number two. Again, goes back, being submissive to their own husband. Some ask if it's right for a Christian woman to have a makeup. I won't tell you where I stand. I will tell you later, but I will just quote what J. Vernon McGee said. If the barn needs to paint, paint the barn. You got that? If the barn needs to be painted, paint the barn. You know what? I believe the wife should keep herself attractive for their husband. Your husband might work with the most attractive woman in that place. I'm not asking you to compete, but you make yourself attractive. Don't stay at home all the time with that pink robe. And pink roller in your head, and no makeup, no nothing, and don't care, and throwing the potato on his plate from the 30 feet away, and expect him to eat that thing. Visitive. I don't think any of you ladies would do that, but be attractive to your husband. As I said before, do you know how to break the marriage? You know that, right? Do nothing. Just wear the pink robes and pink roller and do nothing. Then you start to make a break of that marriage. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, Bible is so straightforward. Sometimes almost blunt. Sometimes it's almost like uncomfortable to talk about it. But guess what? When we do the inductive Bible study like expository Bible study like this, I don't have a choice but to teach whatever is necessary. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but her husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I heard some of the ladies use the sex as some sort of weapon against their husband to get the leverage. Please don't do that. According to Word of God, this is a commandment. Not suggestion again. If you do that, you're giving Satan the opportunity to tempt your husband. Why do you want to do that? See, it goes the same way. The other way, husband, do not hold yourself back that your wives get tempted. All right, let's make an application. Number one, remember that your husband does not read your mind. Remember what I read? Subtle hint doesn't work. Strong hint doesn't work. Just say it, right? So your husband does not read your mind. He's not God. So if you need to communicate with him, talk to him with respect. Don't ever talk down on him. Second, instead of nagging your husband to do what you want him to do, encourage him to do the things that you need with the respect again. Instead of nagging, encourage him to do it. There's a way, I'm sure you ladies are intelligent enough to know how to say it the right way. Third thing, do not use sex as your leverage to win what you want. Do not use sex as a leverage to win what you want. As we read, your body does not belong to you anymore once you get married. The last one, respect your husband so that you can win his heart for God's glory. Respect your husband so that you can win his heart for God's glory. It's not about your husband whether he deserves your respect or not. You're respecting him because it's commandment from God, not suggestion. Respect him. Guess what, ladies? Let me put it this way. Let's make it like a business proposal. Business deal. If my wife respects me, and I get that air, right? Remember that the tank that filled with respect? She's not putting her thorn into my gas tank air hose so I can breathe. And when I can breathe the respect from her, when I'm getting the respect from her, guess what I would do? I would do what she want to do. So it become great business transaction. She will get what she want because without realizing, I'm giving her what she wants. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. One more verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. By the way, guys, don't be so all feel good about it. Next week is your turn. If you notice, there's a lot of ladies skipped tonight's teaching. Next week, we're going to talk about the husband's role. Victor, you're going to be here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so that love his own wife as himself, and let the wives see that respect her husband. Being submissive equals respect. That's the one command God is asking you to do to your husband. Respect your husband, whether he deserves or not. While you do that, with your godly conduct, you will win his heart toward God. And you become obedient, you bring glory to God. Let's stand up and pray. By the way,